Welcome to VFN Radio. I am Pat Hamilton, and standing in for Greg Lancaster today is John Ramos.
Well, welcome back to VFN Radio.
Well, we're so excited to come back to you in this extra hour. We'll be with you in just a moment. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. This is John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat Hamilton for the extra hour. Oh my goodness, I want to welcome our new VFN Radio listeners that are joining every day. Chloe, we welcome you all the way from Illinois. Umberto, we welcome you, welcome you. Judy, all the way from Buffalo, good to have you. And oh my goodness, it's so cool. Hey, Sheila. Well, this is so exciting, so exciting. We spent time in the first hour just talking about the Constitution and how important the Constitution is and how it came together. Did you learn something, Pat? I learned something today.
I learned a lot.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. We've got an amazing document here, and it's worthy of us taking a look at. Well, my goodness, we're coming. This is the extra hour. I want to thank you for joining us in this extra hour. I want to remind you of the marathon weekend. Oh, my goodness, don't forget that you can catch all of the week's programs this weekend on the marathon weekend. So whatever you're doing this weekend, relaxing, working, enjoying yourself, feel free to tune in. Download the app. If you haven't, you can go to your app store, your Google App Store or your Apple App Store, and you can search search for VFNTV and download the app. Download the app. Well, thank you for joining us in the extra hour. What we're going to do is talk about some really just interesting things here in this extra hour. We're going to talk about the Bible, the Word of God, and some really neat things about how it's flawless. We're going to share the wisdom moment, and we're also going to talk about the Fourth Amendment. So we look forward to seeing you. We'll be right back.
Have you ever found yourself just wondering who to talk to? Wondering if there's anybody real? You've tried everything. You've looked to every relationship. Find yourself possibly, being an addict. Run through every door, every opportunity. And it seems like all your doors are closing. It seems like everywhere you're going, it's just, you turn and you end up in the exact same place. And I relate to you because that's exactly where I was. I had nobody to turn to, or at least I thought I didn't. I tried everything and I felt all alone. I felt that there was nowhere else to go, that I could not find the very reason that my life was. I couldn't find my purpose. And I want to encourage you that there is a place to reach out to. You can reach out to Jesus Christ, that he is real. And if you feel that God can't use you, I want to share truth with you that he can. And he wants nothing more than to spend time with you and have a relationship with you. And you can check out the stories and read the stories of other people who are in situations like you, or possibly in worse or just different situations than you. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out your heavenly father that wants nothing more than to know you. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Well, you know, when I was in the Navy back in 1812, in you know, when we were putting the sails up in the Navy.
All right.
We can sell the five C's. You know, that's a graduate school system today. There's seven C's. And so I was stationed in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Give a shout out to our Brooklyn listeners there. And and of course, you don't have a lot of home cooking when you're in the Navy. They did cook a lot of food, but it just wasn't home cooking. But I found out, because I'd ride a bus from Brooklyn Shipyard, mm-hmm. and I would ride it to the subway, and then I'd catch the subway over into Manhattan. I'd get out about 33rd Street, something like that, by the USO. and I'd walk over to the Avenue of Americas, I guess, because they had a restaurant there called Bojangles Chicken.
Mm.
Oh my goodness! I'd eat their chicken, okay, but their biscuits. Oh,
that's old school. Bojangles is old school. I don't even know they're still around, but
they are because I was just coming back with Donna from our anniversary, and and we saw a Bojangles. That's why I'm talking about it.
Oh,
and it was still just good, and I'm like. I'm trying to convince Donna. Right?
Yeah, we need the car.
Let's go eat at this chicken joint.
Yeah, right.
She looks at me like, "What? No, this is Bojangles." And then finally she conceded. You know, she's like, "Okay," you know. And we went there and we both enjoyed it. But anyway, so they cook their biscuits like with yeast, and they got this real fluffy, bready biscuit that's so good. So you know, I'm young. I'm in the Navy, and just wanted some of those biscuits, and so I go down there. And go out to catch buses and subways. And at that time, the streets weren't as safe as they are today
on
New York.
Safe.
Oh, believe me, it was a bit different than then. Anyway, so then I get to Bojangles and I order a whole box of biscuits. I'm at like six or eight biscuits. I'm just going to eat these biscuits, you know. That's back when I had a 28 waist. Look what biscuits do to you. All anyway. Right. Remind me to tell you about my doctor's visit. Anyway, so they give me this big box of biscuits. And at that time, there was a mansion that somebody had donated to the military. Mm-hmm. It was right there, I think, on the Avenue of Americas. And you could stay there for like $12.
Wow.
You know, but it was just like, you know, communal type, these big, huge, you know, a mansion in New York is huge as it is, you know, anything.
Yeah.
You know, but it had these huge, you know, 16-foot ceilings and this old libraries and these big, huge rooms. There's no doors on the place, you know, and it was on the different bedrooms and all that kind of stuff. But you had several different racks, old metal beds, you know, in there. But, you know, for going to the city, you could stay and survive, you know, stay in the city for like $12 or something. And so I ate all these biscuits. And I'm like, oh, man, they were so good. I enjoyed every one of them. And so then I go to the mansion, you know, eventually get to the mansion thing. And I go there, I give my $12 or whatever it was. And I go and there's a rack in this room, a bed, and several of them. There's like a lot of different rooms in there. And you can hear hard floors. You can hear like things echoing in there. Uh-huh. And I was laying in this bed, John. I was laying in this bed, you know, as a young sailor. Uh-huh. I'd eaten, I don't know, eight biscuits. It could have been more than that.
Right.
And the yeast that they use in their biscuits rises, and then you eat it. But they didn't fully rise yet.
Oh,
okay.
So I have these pound of biscuits.
Oh, my goodness.
In this young stomach, and all of a sudden, man, those biscuits began to rise.
Oh no.
I know it, man. I'm sitting here in this huge, hollow sounding 16 foot, no door, 15,000 rack, $12 night. And all you could hear was like, oh! They just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm like, I'm going to die.
Oh, no.
So you cannot say I can't empathize what it's like. To have a baby, because I think this thing was just growing bigger. I mean, it just got bigger. I'm thinking, it's not going to stop.
Oh,
I'm going to blow wide open. And so I just wanted to share with you.
Did they throw you out?
I got a chance to go to Bojangles Biscuits. But Bojangles Biscuits, Bojangles Chicken, when Don and I were coming back. And but I got good news for you. I had two pieces of chicken.
And how many biscuits?
And I had one biscuit.
Oh, wow.
That's wisdom, right?
It was good. It was good. It was good, but I know better than that now.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Bojangles Biscuits, huh?
Bojangles biscuits. Don't give him no more biscuits now. We can't have them. When he comes up, I got to remind him, you ain't having no biscuits, man. You ain't having no biscuits.
Yeah, lay off the biscuits, man.
But that chicken sure is good, though, I tell you.
Is it?
I can't wait for you to visit, man. Oh, my
goodness. I'm ready, man. Let's do it.
We're going to feed you, boy. You're going to be like them biscuits. It's going to be keep growing.
You have to talk to
growing.
My boss, though. I don't know if I can get off.
Well, I wanted to share with our VFN Radio listeners. I want to share with you today. Don't just cheer me up. Lift me up, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you think about cold water. Cold water.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, the Word God says that cold water to a weary soul is like good news from a distant land. Cold water to a weary soul is like good news from a distant land. That's Proverbs 25:25. But there's nothing like, Pat, nothing like being very hot, sweaty, and extremely tired, like all of your energy and strength are zapped. Have you ever felt like that before?
Hot, sweaty, exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just, I mean, if you lived in a hot, summery place, I don't know, like maybe Florida.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And hot is like, I remember, oh my goodness. It was,
well, do you know anything about that?
Oh, I know some about that.
The
I know
hot and sweaty and tired stuff?
Man, when I first moved to Florida, I was an air-conditioned person. I did not leave the home. I was afraid of the sun. It's like, it's an oven. I'm going to melt away.
I'm going to die.
But then you come inside. And someone gives you a tall glass of ice cold water. Now I'm not these lukewarm water people. I'm sorry if you're a lukewarm water type person that likes room temperature. You know, I'm not with you here. Okay, I'm sorry. I can't do it. Okay, I have to spew it. Okay,
It's gotta go.
gotta go. But someone brings you this tall glass of ice cold water, the type that makes your brain freeze and your teeth, you know,
ache.
Tingle.
Yeah.
You can almost feel the refreshing sensation as it goes down your esophagus and in your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that water is wetting every organ. You've been thirsty and hot? You're like, I think that water just touched my liver. Oh, my gosh. I felt it. I think it touched my liver.
Yeah. It's in my feet.
Well, in the same way, there's nothing like living in the busyness and stress of a day and someone bringing you some good news.
Mm.
I mean, you're busy. The day's stressed. You're running around. You're taking the kids. You're going to work. You're doing the stuff that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And you're hot. and things are just going, you know, 9 to 0.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone interrupts your day and says, I got good news. I mean, if you're like me, I just like, I stopped the world. Yes, please tell me, encourage me. You know
yeah,
saying?
Right.
You get a nice email and someone shares with you some good news. Man, there's nothing like it. I mean, it just puts an automatic smile on your face, like cold water to a weary soul is good news from a distant land. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh yes, please tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Please tell me, how is it? I mean, you think about good news, you think about it brings encouragement, right? Encourage,
right.
Not discourage.
Yeah.
No, encouragement. It puts a smile on your face.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us need help with that. You know, smile, show some teeth. Come on. Put the smile on our face.
Oh, yeah.
It reminds us that good still exists in the land.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it.
Yep.
You hear a good story, a good news, you're like, man, there's still good in this land.
Mm-hmm.
It helps us to refocus us from thinking of what is going wrong to thinking and believing in the good. Right?
Right.
I mean, I think about like stories, Pat, of heroism. Man saves boy when he falls in the subway.
Right, right.
I mean, you're like, oh my goodness, this guy's a hero. Did you hear about the hero? I mean, they put him in the newspaper and everything. Cover him.
Right.
He's a hero. He saved that boy. Oh my gosh, he risked himself in the last second. The boy and him, you know, make it and the train comes. Or the woman, some woman gives a home to a homeless person. You're like, oh my gosh. Makes him, you know, you're thinking, oh my goodness, she just gave a house? Who does that? Who gives a house to a homeless? He's like, wow, man, there's still good people out there. It's like, man, that's good. That's, right. I mean, we know there's good people, but, you know, sometimes you hear negative news all the time and you're thinking, my goodness, is there anything good out there? You know, and you hear stories like that, or a hungry family is supplied with food for a year, or you're thinking, wow, someone sacrificed and gave someone food?
Right.
And it's just as inspired as it keeps us good. Or someone maybe, you know, we hear stories that cheer us up. And a lot of people just want to hear stories just to cheer them up. Mm-hmm. You know, story upon story upon story upon story. Right. Some people like to share stories, messages. Cheer. And it's like, okay, you know, I'm good. You know, I need cheering up like the next man. You know, you know, and I'm all for being cheered up and pumped up. Mm-hmm. But what happens when all that air eventually goes out?
Right.
You know, what happens when all, and so many people today, that's what they're doing. I mean, so it's like, is this another cheer me up? I mean, I got it. Okay, I'm these you know, I'm good for that. I like cheer me up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a better you, or 10 ways to this and 6 ways to that. And it's like, okay. And so, I had a thought. I'm thinking, you know, don't just cheer me up. Lift me up. Mm-hmm. We don't need to cheer everyone up. We need to lift people up. There's a difference, you know, and not just a rah-rah sis-kumba, if you will. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
And there's a story in the Bible that I think about the Good Samaritan. And I love that story because I think it's in Luke 10. And basically that there's a Samaritan, Luke 10, I think verse 30. And he's going out to Jerusalem and he falls into the hands of robbers. And I'm paraphrasing. He's basically left on the side of the road, dude, just tore up.
Right.
And the priest happens to go down the same road and just passes him on the other side, you know. Mm-hmm. And maybe he looked at the guy and said, hey, man, it'll get better.
Yeah.
It'll get better.
Right.
He tried to cheer him up, you know? Mm-hmm. And so he keeps going. And then another person comes by and looked at him and is like, okay, a Levite. And passed him on the other side too. Mm-hmm. He's like, hey, I will tell them at the next exit that you're there and I promise to send you help. Cheer up, man. It's, you know, the sun's going down. You're not going to be hot and sweaty.
Right,
no,
right.
I know you need some bandages and stuff, and I know you tore up there, but cheer up.
Yeah.
Help is on the way.
Yeah.
And then you got this Samaritan. This Samaritan that is traveling, and he saw the man and took pity on him. And he had so much compassion that he got off of his donkey, got off of his stuff, and went over and tried to fix the guy up and, you know, bandage the guy up and just love on him. Mm-hmm. And then he put him back on his donkey and took him to an inn. Listen to this now. Took him to an inn.
All right.
And told the innkeeper, take care of him, put it on my tab, and here are a couple coins. Hook him up on me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, he didn't need a cheer me up. He needed a lift me up.
Yeah,
he needed a lift me up, a cheer up. I mean, listen, I'm down for the rah rah sis boom bah, but I mean, at some point, you know, we all need a lift me up, not just a momentary cheer, a plan for a better you, and all. Yeah. I mean, I get it, but. We have to go to the place of compassion. I mean, it's going to be real difficult to have compassion for people at a distance.
Yeah.
I mean, they walked on the other side of the road, Pat. Mm. I mean, it's hard to see people's pain. It's hard to see what people are going through when you're peeking outside of your windows on the inside.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Right.
It's a different, you ever notice, have you ever driven through your neighborhood and then you have, and then you walk through your neighborhood. There's a huge difference when you drive by and when you walk by.
Yeah.
It's like, I didn't notice there was a rock. Did you know people live next door? Did you know that? I never knew that. I didn't know those people live there.
Right, right.
It's like, they're your neighbors. But it's amazing. You get in your car in your house and you're
just totally cut off. Yeah.
Totally cut off. But in order to have compassion, you got to go where the people are at.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be amongst them. You got to live with them and talk with them and share with them and share your life with them. And you'll be able to see firsthand what people are going through. And you won't walk past like the Levite or the priest and say, hey, man, cheer up. It'll get better.
Right. It's all good.
It's all good. It's all good. Give them a lift up. Give them a lift up. And people today, man, they're weary. They're weary. They're ragged by this world. They're beaten down by the enemy and sin and they need to hear the good news.
Mm-hmm.
They need to hear the good news of the gospel. They need to hear great news of Jesus Christ. We're talking about all great news before,
mm-hmm.
but this good news is not just going to cheer them up. Believe you me, it's going to lift them up.
Mm-hmm.
And the good news is that, hey, listen, God's not holding these sins against us. This is really good news. We can turn our hearts back to him. We can get right. We can be a right relationship with him. Jesus said himself, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. There's rest in God. There's a lift. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Mm.
He says, listen, I can give you a lift up.
Yeah,
I'm just not going to cheer you up. I'm going to come to me. You're weary. You're heavy burden. You can come to God and you can take that burden and that pressure and that stress. And you're not satisfied because you're trying to read a positive book. And you thought maybe I could get positive. So I read a positive book. And then I'll just hear a positive message. And then I'll just hear some good little funny stories. And I just need more humor in my life. And humor's good because I love humor. It's medicine. But let me tell you something. You want to be lifted up. You want to have, see, happiness is just something that happens, but joy comes from the Lord.
That's right.
You know, peace that passes all understanding. I never understood why early in my walks, it's Jesus, Prince of Peace. What Prince, till I needed some peace, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You've been through something that's so horrible
mm-hmm.
that you should be like a basket case and just so, you know, distraught, but somehow you have this peace because you know God. You have this peace. He gives you the peace that passes all understanding. That's great news when all pressure and everything is caving in and you're shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
There's a peace from God.
That's right.
That rises above your ability to comprehend. It's like, I have no idea why I just feel this peace right now because all indicators right now are telling me this is a bad situation.
Right.
But God overwhelms you with his peace. He's come to take off that burden. He's come to take off that pressure and that stress. And he says, take my yoke upon you. Let me carry this for you. It's like cold water to a weary soul. Good news. Let me say, the good news is the great news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you haven't given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you today. Today, don't put off tomorrow what you can do today.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow is written in a fool's calendar. All we have is today.
That's right.
Come to the one who's the burden bearer. Come to the one who will lift you up
right.
and not pep you up.
Amen.
We'll be right back. If you've ever looked at the church and have thought to yourself, these people are just way too perfect for me to come around them, then you know what? You and I are a lot alike. That was my story. I thought everyone in the church was just perfect, and I was the only one with issues. But guess what? Everyone that comes to Jesus has a background. We don't come to Jesus because we're perfect. We come to Jesus because we need a Savior. And you know, I was at that place. I was at that place where things weren't going right in my life. I was away from God. I was in sin. I was chasing after the world, trying to find an identity, trying to find myself. And the more I kept looking for myself, the more I went deeper and deeper into sin. But then I had an encounter. I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happened, everything changed. Yeah, my life wasn't perfect, but I met the one who is perfect. And with that, I'm absolutely okay. I want to encourage you to read my story. You can read other stories of people that were not perfect, but people who met the perfect one. Mm-hmm. You can go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Steve, Pat, mm-hmm. I got to tell you, I've had two experiences when it comes to reading the Bible. I've read the Bible before, mm-hmm. and it was like a dictionary.
Yeah.
Didn't make any sense. Right. Couldn't understand it.
Right.
And after one page, I said, okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've had another experience.
Yeah.
And that's when I spent time abiding with God.
Big difference.
That the Bible literally has come alive. Mm-hmm. That which with each word as I read, each verse, I just sense God's presence with me.
Mm-hmm.
I sense that he's speaking to me. And I find that his word gives me direction. It gives me the light that I need. I tell you, if you've read the Bible before and you're struggling because it just doesn't make sense, maybe you don't know where to start, I want to encourage you to get a plan at iabide.org. It's a plan, a very simple plan. It's going to help you to have an abiding relationship. What does that mean? That means that you're going to find a set time, a set place where you're just not going to try to study the Bible because you can't study the Bible. It's not a tutorial. Mm. It's not a textbook. It's a living book that comes with the author. You're going to have an opportunity to sit and engage God, and he's going to engage you. iabide.org, where you can learn to hear the voice of God.
John, this is so encouraging. We got a Twitter page as well on the VFN TV radio program. You can actually go on twitter.com/VFNTV1 and you can stay up to date as far as all the updated new content that's being discussed and being shared on the VFN TV daily radio program and see all the people that you're connected to, all the people that are following you. You can immediately post on that as far as what you're hearing, and immediately everyone else that's connected to you exactly knows the good news is what's being shared. God's news behind the news, the encouraging word will be shared to all those who are following you. Check it out. Twitter.com/VFNTV1. You know, John, when I'm listening to the VFN radio program, I am so encouraged. Mm-hmm. And I listen to it, and you got the first hour, there's that break, you go right. And I don't know about anybody else, but I'm air guitaring during that intro when it's coming down. All of our VFN radio listeners, it is okay to air guitar.
No, that's right.
Because as far as I know, I've got that solo mastered, and if you know it, I'm rocking that air guitar. But when that segment's over, I'm like, man, I got to wait until tomorrow to hear the next program. And I'm like, oh, all right, okay. Well, if you haven't heard yet, if you don't know yet, you can listen to a program back to back to back. You can listen to five programs back to back to back and listen to the marathon weekend. You might be listening to the Monday's program or in the Tuesday's program, and then you got to wait 24 hours the next one. Well, you can listen to all five programs with no breaks in between. So check out the whole weekend marathon, Saturday, 9 a.m. Central until Monday, 9 a.m. Central, the weekend marathon.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. Well, I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat Hamilton. Oh, my goodness, Pat, we need good news, don't we?
I know, that's right. You got any?
Say that again?
You got any?
Yeah, listen, man, we got good news, man. You've been hearing good news.
Yeah.
Get with it. No.
You got some more?
Don't pep me up. Don't just cheer me up. Lift me up, right?
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're coming to the second half of the extra hour. Time flies by, Pat. So good. But we wanted to talk about the top three on the VFN Torch. I tell you, be encouraged every single day. the torch is being updated. Every single day you're going to hear just segments and highlights of what was just shared daily on the daily VFN radio program. They're segments. They're, you can listen to them. You can email them. You can share them with your friends on Facebook. And speaking of Facebook, if you have not liked us, take the time. Go ahead and like us. I spoke to a friend the other day. She says, you know what? I've been seeing your posts on Facebook. She goes, yes, I'm gonna like you. I said, well, go ahead, thank you. Like VFN Radio. She said, just go ahead and like us. Just get, because what that does for you as a VFN Radio listener is that you're gonna be able to get all of these feeds directly in your Facebook feed. So every time that VFN Radio makes a post to their page, mm-hmm. that post, that news feed, that announcement will automatically get to you. And also, don't forget that you can always subscribe to VFN TV for free. Go to VFNTV.com and click subscribe. Doesn't cost you a thing. What that does is allows you to get more messages, more content, and all of it's available free to you. There's so many wonderful messages. You know, God does speak. Is America under judgment? SOS, the tale of two kings. I mean, there's so much more. You're going to find encouragement. You're going to hear prophetic words, and you're going to know. You're going to know. You're going to be encouraged. Do it now. Yeah. Do it now. You'll be encouraged. Well, VFN TV top three, the first one, Pat, the first one. This is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Be thankful. Be thankful. We just shared how it's still up there, but how important it is to be thankful for what basically we do have and not coveting or sweating or being envious of what we don't have. That,
right.
You know, we're at a place right now and that we have so much to be thankful for, but if we don't stop and pause and think about it, we're gonna get lost in the sauce, as my friend says. You know, you're gonna miss it.
Right,
You're gonna miss it. You're gonna get lost in the blessing of everything that God's doing, and you're gonna miss out, and you'll start to complaining. Well, you start comparing first.
Right.
They have what we don't have, and why do they have? And it's like, really? You start comparing. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's not really good. You know, the word instructs us to say, you know, those that compare themselves by themselves are not wise. Mm-hmm. So you got to help yourself out and say, I am not going to compare. I'm just not even going to go there.
Right.
We have what we have, and we're blessed.
Absolutely.
And then the second thing is, you know, because it's a slippery slope. Once you start that slippery slope, then you'll start to covet, which we it's a fancy word, right? We figure that out.
Right.
It just means to be envious. It's just to wrongly desire what somebody else has mm-hmm. for yourself.
Right.
You know, it's just like almost like a jealousy. Like, I want it. Mm-hmm. I want it.
Right.
And so you start comparing, you get into coveting, then you start complaining because you don't get what you want. Right?
Yeah.
Says, why there's quarrels? Why there's quarrels amongst you? Right? Pride, because you don't get what you want. Mm-hmm. And now you start complaining, and then you start bickering, mm-hmm. and it's like, this is not going well. This is not going well. And then you start running around. It's a slippery slope. It's a strategy. Then you start to claim things like entitlements, and I deserve this, and I deserve that. And before you know it, you're like, wait a minute. I got to get off of the slippery slope. I got a journey back. I got to get my heart right with God. I need to be thankful for what I do have. Stop worrying about what I don't have. And understand that, you know what? Every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, from Father up above. I'm good. I'm blessed. If you haven't listened to How Rich Are You, you got to go on the torch. You got to listen to How Rich Are You. There's a website in there that's on the torch where you're going to be able to actually plug in real numbers, real financial numbers of what your family earns or an income. You put your family size in there, and then you'll be able to see exactly what percentage you fall in based in the world's population. I mean, we found out that Pat is a very rich man. I mean, very
yes.
rich.
In Jesus' name.
We're all rich.
That's right.
Think about it. Every person that you know, Just you'll have to do it for yourself. You'll realize, based upon the world's population, that half of the world's population lives on $4 a day. Let me tell you something: we are rich, and not only are we monetarily rich with things, but my goodness, if you have Jesus in your life, is He not enough?
You are rich. Amen.
I mean, we are blessed. The second one is check with Jesus before you vote. Mm-hmm. Check with Jesus before you vote. It may sound, you know, like, but you know what? It's true. Check with Jesus. You know, you got a lot of decisions to make. There's 60 days or so before it's time to vote. There's 33 million Americans that are not registered to vote, that think they're registered. You need to go ahead and check. You can go to wallbuilders.org and you can check to see if you're registered. But before you vote, remember that, you know, God's not left wing or right wing. He's for the whole bird. And just ask yourself, WWJD, you know, spend mm-hmm. some time abiding. Spend some time, you know, in the word mm-hmm. and ask the Lord the question. He does speak. He does speak and he'll let you know. And then we're coming to the last one, 90 minutes in heaven. 90 minutes in heaven. You can hear about Don Potter's experience, about when he Piper's experience, not Potter, Don Piper's experience, when he basically in a car accident and was taken into heaven. And you hear about the sound of angels' wings and the mm-hmm. sound of heaven and mm-hmm. and the wall and all the people that greeted him when he entered. I tell you, there's nothing that would be like going to heaven. And mm-hmm. That's a future hope for those that have accepted the Lord. Let me tell you, you just don't pass away and it's all over. But guess what? You know, you stop living in this life, but right. you're gonna live for eternity. Your spirit's going to live for eternity. And we'll enter what God has for us. So that's so encouraging. I want to encourage you. Spend time on the torch. Be encouraged and share with your friends. We'll be right back.
I want to encourage you. You know, if you feel like you had a call on your life, you feel like you just want to get closer to God, you're ready to get a better perspective, a deeper perspective, you just want to walk with God. You know, you want to be close to Him. You want to love God and love others and lead others to the same. You know, it's so important to learn the ways of God. It's so important to not just, you know, give your heart to God, which is ultimately important, but then you have to learn His ways. He says, those who follow my teachings are really my disciple. The dangerous thing about not learning His ways will end up following some ways that are not His ways. And eventually we could be led astray. Don't be led astray. You can register today for VFNU.org. It's Vine Fellowship Network University. If you feel like you're called into leadership, you feel like you want to go deeper in God. And also join us in the VFN family, you know, VFNfamily.org. Find out if that's for you. Find out if you're called to connect with and relate with believers who are abiding with God and just desire to follow God in that. But it's a VFNU for VFN University, VFNU.org. It is so cool when you're reading the Bible, isn't it, Pat? When you find out when finally your life, your Christian walk lines up with what you're actually reading in your Christian Bible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so cool that when you actually have a source you can go to,
right?
Because it fits your life and your life fits the word. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if you've been reading the Word of God and you've been reading as a history book, or somebody's told you that there's not any more miracles anymore. Somebody's, you know, told you that that doesn't apply anymore. And they've replaced the Word of God with their traditions. Mm. Let me tell you something. You know, let every man be a liar and God be the truth. His Word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. God has not changed. Men change.
That's right.
God hasn't changed. You know, if that's you, if you are presently not connected or related to a body of believers, or if you are at a place that it just seems dead. It's like your prayers hit the ceiling. Any conversations about going deeper in God, people don't know what you're talking about. When you're talking about, let's go do what the Bible says, and they say, no, let's just go see a movie instead. I mean, things right. like that. If that's where you listen, you know, maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you, mm-hmm. you know, and the thing about it is you have to understand that when you step out of, I remember one particular person said this, mm-hmm. they said, when I stepped out of tradition, men's tradition,
right.
and I stepped into VFN, it was like stepping right into the book of Acts chapter 4.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Listen, but you have to understand, this is not something you stick your toes in. When you want to follow God, you don't put a toe in it and find out what temperature it is. Mm-hmm. You know, this is, you know, walking with God. There's so many different men and women that are walking with the Lord that are in tune with what's going on. You know, George Barna writes in his book that people are leaving the traditional church not because they want to get away from God. It's because they're wanting to maintain their walk with God. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, you got to do what you got to do to stay close to God, because you stand alone before God.
Mm-hmm.
You stand alone before God. No witnesses and no suspects.
That's
you
right.
are there all by yourself. So you are accountable for you. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, if you're ready to dive into the things of God, to dive into the deep, and you're ready to say, I just want to believe God. I want the word to be alive and living and active in my life. I no longer want it nullified, but I want it to be living and active in my life. Maybe VFN's for you. VFN stands for Vine Fellowship Network, a network of abiding churches who are rightly related, seeking to love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. Go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org. So, my friend, I want to say, too, to those that are on the our Apple applications out there, make sure you go to iTunes and, you know, write a review. There's people, you know, they're going to be coming and they're looking and they're trying to find encouraging words and, you know, what they can, you know, I want something to listen to. I want mm-hmm. something to view that's going to encourage me during these times. And, of course, we're getting feedback from all of a lot of our listeners and viewers that, and new people will be coming from around the world. You know, we have all the way from Okinawa to Texas and throughout in Oregon
and Africa.
I mean, it's all mm-hmm. around the world and America. And so they'll read your review. So go to iTunes, you know, type in VFN TV and you'll find the application there. You can download it. But also once you listen for a while, once you watch, then say, you know what, I'm going to write a review. And so other people, it's a way for you to help win people to the Lord, to encourage them to tune in to VFN Radio.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat Hamilton. How you doing, Pat?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. Listen, it's time for the moment of wisdom, and we want to share the moment of wisdom with you today. It's in Proverbs 7, and with all you're getting, get wisdom, get understanding, and we're going to hear from just God's word on some wisdom for the day. Proverbs chapter 7. Wisdom 7, okay. Wisdom, Proverbs chapter 7. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers and write them on the tablet of your heart. You know, sometimes we got to, I'm guilty, but sometimes you read the words so fast sometimes that you have to slow down and just kind of think about what you just read. You know, mm-hmm. it says, my son, keep my words and store up my commands mm-hmm. within you. And keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. You think about that. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye.
Right.
You know, your eye is a very sensitive part of your body.
Right.
I mean, it's really, really sensitive. You think about your eyelashes. Now, Pat, I know you probably don't know this. So the ladies know this. You know, your eyelashes are not just for ladies to, you know, curl them or do what they do with them. I don't know what they do, but
tell us what do they do.
Well, I have no idea what they do. But they gotta like twirl them up or something. But anyway. Your eyelashes actually protect your eyes. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. They protect your eyes from any kind of debris or garbage or dirt just, you know, getting in your eyelid. And it just catches it before it hits your eye. Mm-hmm. And your eyelashes function like they're like a warning system. Mm-hmm. When things get too close to your eyes, they shut like a reflex. It's just like it's mm-hmm. a warning. It sends a signal to your brain. And it's just like shuts it before anything can actually hit it.
Right.
You think about it, if something hits your eyes, you would imagine you'd hear so many more things that happen with eyes, but your eyes are just—they're just sticking out there. So many things can go into them, but I guess eyelashes do such a great job. You know, if something's about to fly in there, fall in there, just automatically just shuts, and it kind of catches any kind of garbage that could go in there. Well, you know, I wear contacts, okay, and I'm a little bit challenged in the eyesight area. In fact, I'm a lot challenged. Just one of my challenges, you know.
Right.
I'm challenge vertically as well, but let's start with the eyes. You know, I have to wear, if I don't wear contacts or my glasses, I'm in deep, deep, deep trouble, man. I cannot see. I mean, I just cannot. Like, I'm a person that I cannot be behind a wheel if I don't have some corrective lenses.
Right, right.
I can't see signs. I can't see speed limits. I can't, nothing, you know, no. I can't see anything, you know? And I won't go there. I just can't see.
Right, okay? Right, right.
But I've had before, and anybody who's worn contacts before, maybe you could relate to this. Sometimes your eyelashes get loose, I guess, and they get in between your contact. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you that it feels like there is a rock in your eye. And you're right. Like, get this out of my eye. And you're like, you know, holding your fingers wide open. And you're like, look in my eye. Look in. There has to be something there.
Yeah.
And you know. She was like, it's just a little eyelash. I was like, it's killing me.
It's a log.
Killing.
Get it out.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's huge. And it's amazing. You take the little eyelash out, and it's like, oh, relief. Beautiful. Beautiful. And you think about it. Look what happens when you guard your eye. Mm-hmm. And the word is instructing us that we need to guard God's teachings that way. God, guard the word of God just like we would guard our eye, would keep it precious. Mm-hmm. And if something happened to your eye, you'd be in a world of hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in a world of hurt. Something happens to your eye. You get pink eye or stuff like that, man. You're like, but if something pokes you in the eye, yeah, it's bad news. But we're supposed to guard the teaching. Mm-hmm. Guard the teachings. Hold it close. Don't let it get punctured. Don't let it get don't let it fall out.
Yeah.
Don't let nothing get in it, but protect it because it's sensitive. It's worthy to be treasured and honored. Mm-hmm. Don't let it fall out.
Right.
So he says, guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. The same way you would guard your eyes, guard my teachings. Guard my teachings. How many welders you know start welding without putting protective lenses on their eyes?
Right, exactly.
It's like, hello, you're going to lose that eye. Mm-hmm. If you don't protect God's word in your life, you're not going to have it. Mm-hmm. You got to cherish it. You got to protect it. So in Proverbs 7, you're looking at Solomon. He's making an observation here, okay? Mm-hmm. And he's observing, Pat, this young man. He's looking through his window, the lattice of his window, and he says, mm-mm, this ain't going good.
Right.
He's like, I can see where this is going. This young man is walking down the way of this woman whose husband just left. Mm-hmm. And he's like, mm-mm. I can see this is not going to be a good thing that's happening. He says, then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute with crafty intent. She is loud and defiant, and her feet never stay at home. And so he's like, okay, crafty intent. She had ill will. Mm-hmm. And so she had a brazen face and all.
Right.
And goes on to say that, you know, she's making a move for him, basically.
Right.
And then verse 21 says, with persuasive words, she led him astray and she seduced him with her smooth talk. You know, let me tell you something. If you could be led astray, you could be led astray. The thing is that if God wouldn't warn us, if it wasn't possible, you know, there's no temptation is not coming to man, right?
That's right.
But if you're not guarding the teachings, right? Mm-hmm. If you're not being aware, be careful. I mean, 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. I mean, if someone can be led astray from the pure devotion to Christ, I mean, catch a clue. You can be led astray. You can be. It's not about wandering and doing and touching and seeing, but you can be led astray. And 1 John 2:26 says, I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. Let me tell you that there are people that will try to lead you off the path that you're trying to be on. Mm-hmm. And God is warning us in his word that we need to stay on the right path. We need to go to the places that we need to go and not go to the places we don't need to go. And I'm reminded in Psalms about, says that a blessed man is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. You know, there's a progression there. You start walking. It's like, then you start standing. And before you know it, you're sitting down, man. It's a trap. You're being led astray. You're going to be led astray if you don't guard what God is doing in your life like you would guard your eyeballs. Mm-hmm. You got to guard the anointing. We talked about that earlier this week. You got to protect the Lord's anointing. You got to protect what God's doing in your life. You got to protect your relationship. And you know what? The enemy has a strategy. The devil does not like you. Mm-mm. He does not like you. He doesn't want to get between everything. He wants to get between you and God, you and your relationship. And there's a strategy that's being waged to lead you astray by any means necessary.
Right.
And if you're not careful, you'll be led astray. Mm-hmm. And so the warning that we could take, I mean, it says, look, it says all at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter. He was done. Like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Solomon's watching this. This is the ways of the simple. No wisdom, no understanding, no need to understand that we got to treasure what God is doing. Then he says, now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways. Don't turn to the enemy's ways. He said, many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. Let me tell you something. That's a bad road to get on. Mm-hmm. Stay on the road with Jesus. Don't turn to your left. Don't turn to your right. Keep your gaze before the Lord. Make level paths for yourself and watch God take care of you. Honor the Lord, because let me tell you something. The enemy has a plan to lead you astray. Don't be led. Remember this, that for someone or something to lead you astray, someone has to lead and someone has to follow. Don't follow those who will lead you into the ditch or into the chambers of death.
All right.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, I think about that, promise keepers, when Coach McCartney, began, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together, and we got to get people together, and two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what got birthed in us at that particular point was, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out, they came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back into that. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. We had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats, to be able to preach the gospel to them once. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. Mm-hmm. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today,
right?
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat Hamilton. We are coming to the end of the extra hour, but I want to encourage you. Yes, go to VFNTV.com, select giving. Let's fill these virtual stadiums together. $1, $10, $5, $100. What? Listen, let's do this together. They're coming. People are being touched. They're being empowered. And you can be a part of that. You can be a part of helping people to know Jesus and make him known. Well, thank you so much for joining with us today. We'll see you back on Monday. But don't forget, for the VFN Marathon weekend, all weekend long, all week, you can hear all the encouraging radio segments of the entire past week. God bless you, and we'll see you again.
Thank you so much for joining us on VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can see us on VFNTV.com. You can also see us on your mobile phone and your iPad applications and your Androids. To find out more at VFNTV.com or in your application store. God bless you. Until we meet again, VFN Radio. God bless.